Philemon and verse 6, we're looking at our authority in his name. Our authority in his name was started off yesterday, so we're still introducing that the communication of thy faith, Philemon 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And then one of the things we have established, the fact that, you see, the epistles are written to inform us and to instruct us about the realities of what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. Notice the phrasing that the Apostle Paul uses, the communication of thy faith. So first of all, he acknowledges that you cannot be a believer if you don't have faith. You are a believer because you have faith. And the faith that you have is the faith of the Son of God. We saw that yesterday, Galatians 2:20. Okay? He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of. So the faith of Christ is a faith that is in every single believer. So you don't need more faith. You need your faith to be effectual. You don't need more faith. The faith you already have must now become effectual. And so in Philemon, Paul, by the Spirit of God, begins to instruct the believer. Because many times, we think a faith failure is because you need more faith. Yes, it's true that your faith can grow exceedingly. But then when he says your faith is growing exceedingly, he's talking about how much you have acknowledged over a period of time that is causing your faith to find full expression. So he says, the communication of your faith, that is your faith should participate generally in affairs of life, it will become more effectual as you acknowledge. So he's talking about a comprehension. Comprehension increases over time. You get to know more. What are you learning about? You're learning more of the nitty-gritty of the details of what God has accomplished and the sacrifice of Jesus. Say amen. In Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, the prophet said, my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Notice what he said, for lack of fasting. There are some things that not answer to fasting, that will only answer to knowledge, which makes prayer effectual. So that a man fasts without knowledge, you will still suffer what ignorance will incur. So knowledge is a major thing that makes prayers effectual, because knowledge has a direct impact on how effectual your faith is. It says the communication of you will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is where in you. And that's crucial. So yesterday we began to look at the name. Mark chapter 16. So one or two things about yesterday, and then we just quickly move on. Mark chapter 16, and we did a comparison of the Gospels because of a certain emphasis we wanted to highlight. Verse 15, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So we said the believing is the baptism. So when he uses the word, he that believeth and is baptized, he's not talking about two different experiences. He's talking about by believing you are immersed into a particular thing. He that believeth and is baptized, or that is baptized, shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So if the believing is the baptism, it is not wrong for us to read verse 17 this way. And these signs shall follow them that are immersed. Are you with me tonight? These signs shall follow them that are immersed, because it's important that you recognize what believing is. To believe means there's something, a body of knowledge, a reality that needs to be embraced or accepted. So these signs shall follow those who have been immersed in my name. Now, others want to see that these signs shall follow the believing ones. So once you have believed, you are called a believing one. It's not a reversible process. You have believed once to enter into all. You believe once to enter into all. So what the believer needs, therefore, is not more believing, it's more acknowledging. Is more acknowledging. So notice again that the emphasis of the Pauline prayers has always been spiritual wisdom and what? Revelation. And Paul says this requires prayer. So in this season, for instance, one of the things that it's wise for you to pray for is that the eyes with which you see the scriptures should be enlightened. Because there are things that you will see. So to speak, a transformation takes place on the inside of you. You will know when it happens. There's a boldness that you're going to have when it happens. There's an approach you're going to have to life when it happens. that doubt and the fear you normally have from time to time about certain issues or conditions will change when that thing happens. Hallelujah. You know, I heard this man of God, Pastor Chris, some years back. He was praying for a particular person who was crippled. The person was in a wheelchair, had never walked. So it took a while, but after a while, the person got up and started walking. So in a teaching after that, he was making fun of some of his leaders and said, I know the look on some of your faces. Your look was like, why won't this person get up now? You want to embarrass our pastor? Yeah? You want to put our pastor to shame? Get up. Hey, God help us so. We're on TV. Say, I know what you're thinking. He said, but I never once doubted that he would get up. The fact that I didn't get up immediately, your own faith took flight. I was persistent because I wasn't using, you know, Ashangri. You know Ashangri? I wasn't using Ashangri. I just knew that if I stayed with it, because what I'm using can't fail. I may need to find out. I heard Andrew Womack say this. In the early days, as he was practicing healing, using the name, he had come to an understanding that the name doesn't fail. Because for it to fail, it will negate all that is in the name. It is what the name has accomplished that makes the name work. It's not the pronunciation of the name. So the person who is pronouncing the name should pronounce it with the understanding of what is in the name. That's what the person needs to know. So he said, if we pray, he answers. If he answers, there's no failure on that side. If there's an interest, it's on this side. So we'll put all our energy to find out, why have we not received? Not why has God not given us? You already have a problem when you think, why has God not given? You have a problem. Because you're assuming that for one reason or that God will not give. You are not following the integrity of the scriptures. Are you only referring to the epistles this way? They are blood-soaked words that came out of the resurrection of Jesus. The epistles were uttered with the boldness of exceeding great power behind them. So when you hear James saying things like, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth none, and it shall be given him. No question mark. James is saying that in the light of the fact that all the promises of God, they are now what? They are yes, and they want amen to the glory of God by us. So he said there was a test subject. A particular individual. They were praying for the person to hear. The person was deaf. The person was blind, rather. They were praying for the person to see. So they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and the person could not see. They prayed that God would heal the person, and the person still could not see. So they kept praying, God, heal the person. Then he stopped. He said, you know what? Everybody was already tired. Who's already weary? Why is it not working now? Why is God not answering? So questions are asking. You are not getting results, and your first question is, why is God not answering us? Why is he not answering? Why is the person not seeing? Everybody will start, can you please go home? Leave those of us who are ready to see results. So as soon as those ones left, because people can hinder you sometimes. If you are not on the same page, they can hinder you. Why do you think Jesus would go to Jairus' house? And people were mourning, and their crying was meant to signify a finality, that death has had the final say. And Jesus knew death wasn't meant to have the final say, because Jairus already said, you will lay your hands upon her and she shall live. So those who are saying death should have a final say need to be excused, so that only those who have said you shall lay your hands and shall live will remain. I hope you understand. He drove them out before he did it. That's how strong human will can be. People are willing you should die. You are willing to live. Get rid of those who are willing you should die. Because their will is a weight in the spirit. It is. You know how many people were believing that Peter should die? That's why the church prayed that long. Because it was the will of the people that Peter should die. Demonic will. So the church had to pray and break the will of the wicked in Peter, that Peter's life could be spared. So, after they did that, he said, well, there can be no problem on the giving side. He's faithful. He can't deny himself. There's only a problem on the receiving side. So let's just pray. What is the issue, Father? Show us where we are missing him. That's a wise person. That's also humility. Your word is true at all times. We're not making a connection. We don't know why. Let's find out why. Let's pray. Then the Spirit of God whispered and said, he doesn't need a healing. Look at the way God's praying. He needs a miracle. You are praying wrong. So he said, That's more detail. You are the one who is saying the prayer. You're on earth. You have authority. He said you are praying that you should be healed. And what he needs is a miracle. So he said to prove what he heard, he went to the guy. Okay, how exactly did you get blind? Also, he said, the part that makes people see the retina has been removed. Say, okay. So that's the problem. He said, it's not even there, it's removed. So he now knew what the gospel said, that he needs what? A miracle. And I said that. So we're going to pray differently. In the name of Jesus, the eyes opened. So all along, power was present. The name could produce new retinas. But they were praying wrong. It doesn't need healing. It needs what? A miracle. Whether it's healing or miracle, the name will do both. But you need to know exactly what you are going to say. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, that person is acknowledging that. What did they get to know? They needed knowledge in the situation. They didn't need more power. They needed more authority. They needed knowledge to apply the authority. Do you understand the illustration? That's important. So, the communication of your faith. Say, my faith heals the sick. My faith raises the dead. My faith casts out devils. This faith that I have, the faith that raised Jesus from the dead, is a faith that's in my heart. This faith can surmount mountains. Glory to God. I was in a woman's show recently, and I said, everybody who has one pain or ailment that come out, started coming out. There were over 15 people. I didn't touch any of them. I said, I'm going to point towards you, and I'm going to use the name of Jesus, or you won't hear me say it. You're going to be healed. So they were getting healed like that. And some of them were healed before they knew they were healed. You know, such things happen. Someone is going, it's gone. Size gone. They're giving praise. They want to start clapping. Say, please don't clap. I was going to sit down. So there were about three people who were there who kept saying that the thing wasn't. You can feel the crowd saying, hey, you need to say, why don't you just go and sit down? I don't know what someone wants to spoil the whole show for us. The power of God can stand scrutiny. The power of God can stand scrutiny. If you know it, it always works. It's not guess game. I just did. I said, you, it's okay if you stay. You don't mind. So I just stood with them and I just worked with them until everybody was healed. Someone says, why? My confidence is in the name. It's not even in myself. Peter said, why are you looking at us as though by our own holiness or righteousness we have made this man whole? But God has exalted his son Jesus through faith in his name, has made this man whole in the presence of you all. Say, I have faith in the name. Say, I have faith in the name. All right, where are we now? Mark chapter 16. Okay, you made me go into all that. All right, so it says, this time you shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They drink any deadly thing. Shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover. So we said yesterday that going into all the world is a new instruction. How is it new? They were meant to go before. They had gone before previously. But the scope of how they went and with what they went was different. There was a different scope now. When it says going into all the world, the first instruction in Matthew 10 that we saw yesterday was that go not in the way of Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Why? The authority in the name was limited to that. So were they meant to preach the gospel? Yes. Even the content of the gospel they preached was different. What's the content of that gospel? Look at Matthew 10. Look at Matthew 10. Let's read from verse 1. Got to run. Let me see what we can do. I'm going to try to run. So be following me as I'm skipping. Amen. Are we Matthew 10? When he had called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. So notice the power he gave them was the power that was in his name, his own authority, his own reputation, and the power was to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of what diseases and against all unclean spirits. Verse 5. Then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. How will you prove it? Heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have won, received, freely give. That was the scope of the authority of the name that they were given. But in Mark chapter 16, we see something interesting. Go ye. into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, he that believeth and is baptized. So the issue is this, what should the person believe? So Mark tells us a summary of what Jesus taught. Jesus taught some things. Whatever Jesus taught, go back to Mark. Say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear this phrase, he that believeth, that is baptized. Before you can believe, there must be a message. Yes or no? So notice Mark does not tell us what the message is. So what we have in verse 14, chapter 16, verse 14 is this. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them, that is, rebuked them with their unbelief and what hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So when you just jump straight to verse 15, it's like something is missing. Because the people he's now talking to in verse 15 had believed. Say amen. Can you see that now? Now, go with me now to, is this Mark? So Matthew, look at Matthew. Matthew 28. Look at the same piece of Matthew 28, verse 16. Matthew 28, 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. That's the word hesitate. So some still hesitated that, are we sure? Are we sure? They stated. So there was this. Now look at it. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what to make disciples of all nations. That is, make men students of these realities. So again, Matthew is giving us a summary of a body of knowledge. There was something that was taught. Whatever was taught, the summary is what Matthew records for us. So we need to consult John. We'll consult Luke to see what exactly were they meant to preach. Because they went to preach something. Were they strangers to preaching? No. They had preached before. But then they were meant to preach something now. And whatever they're about to preach is the reputation and the name of Jesus. Whatever they are meant to preach now has the potency, unlike the first message, not just to heal people of sicknesses, but to save them from eternal death. So the scope of authority is different, the message is different, the content is different, and the power is also different. Can you see that now? Praise God. Are you following tonight? So, go ye and teach all nations. What was the first instruction in Matthew? Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Go only to the lost people. So, it's limited in scope and authority. So, the name of Jesus in the four Gospels is the one who heals, the one who casts out devils. That was his name. That's his reputation. He can save people from sickness. He can release them from demonic oppression and power. He can. What was the message? The kingdom of God is near. It is close by. But going into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that's different in authority, in scope, and in content. Hallelujah. So now let's go to Luke. So do you see the similarity in fact that in Matthew also, some doubted. Well, actually the original reading doesn't say something that they doubted. They actually doubted. It's not as strong as the real doubt. Actually, it means they hesitated. They saw him, they said, are we sure? So the harmony of gospels will let you see that every single one of the four gospels records the same event using different phrases. Now look at 24. Luke 24 now. Let's first read 25. This is the road to Emmaus, disciples. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and do what? Enter into his glory. That content was not found in the original message. Ought not Christ, notice, and the beginning at Moses and what? All the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. People said, is the Bible Christocentric? Yes. Is all that is written in the Old Testament about Christ? No. If it was, the Bible would not say he spoke to them about things concerning himself. So he left some other things alone. So there are statements that have no reference to Christ whatsoever. And you must understand they have no reference to Christ. Absalom has no reference to Christ. Ahithophel. The counsel of Ahithophel. I cannot preach that kind of message. He has no reference to Christ. I may pick some leadership lessons there, in that sense, but I mustn't say it's Christ I'm preaching. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And so, it's not all about him. He spoke or picked. So, Jesus actually did a dissection. He rightly divided the areas where they were pointing straight to him and talking about him. But look at what happened next. See what it says again. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Notice, he was with them physically. He was talking to them. And it was when he broke bread that they recognized him. He was speaking to them. They thought, how come our heart was burning when he was speaking, or light began to shine as it began from Moses and all the prophets? He expounded unto them. Listen carefully. They saw him. They didn't recognize him. So seeing him physically doesn't bring faith. So Jesus did what was the most important thing. He began to teach, because faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. He began to teach. So they are now recounting the experience with the other 11 now. So look at what happened. Verse 35, and they told what things were done in the way, how he was known in them breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and what? Affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. Can you see that? They supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself, and do me and see, for a spirit has not what? Flesh and bones, as you see. So Jesus knew they were thinking, hey, ghost. That's what they're thinking. Why did thoughts arise in your heart? They were affrighted. He knew, you know. And when he had not spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. Now, that word, that phrase was used casually, show them. Jesus actually allowed personal inspection. He removed his robe. Check everywhere. It's me. You've been with me for 3.5 years. Look at the marks. It's me. She didn't have been convinced. No, she didn't have not been convinced. Okay. Look at next verse. And while they yet believe not for joy and wonder, so they will say, what? Hey. Tell them, have you here any meat? You know what she says? Master, it's okay. We believe now. What did they do instead? Jesus, we believe you, but eat this meat first. Don't manage this one. Let us be there if you go down. Oh, I see. Because if it goes down, it's really you. We use to eat meat together, but if it doesn't go down, spirit does not eat meat. So, they should have said, we believe it's you now. Say, no. He said, okay, final test. Do you have any meat here? If the ability say, no. We. It's okay. We are convinced. Say, no. We have. Bring it out. Let him eat. So, and they gave him a piece of boiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and ate before them. And he said unto them, now remember, Luke is giving a summary of a teaching. This is a teaching. When you're reading it, don't read it as a statement. Read it as a summary of a teaching. These are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written where? In the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. Then opened he their what? Understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Using two different words. The one open the understanding means for the very first time. They saw in the scriptures that they had been reading before exactly what the scripture was referring to respect to the sacrifice of Jesus for the very first time. They saw. Remember, this is not a one-day event. This is Luke documenting what happened over a period of 40 days. So when it says, then open it their understanding. How do you open somebody's understanding? By teaching. He began to teach. What was he teaching? He began to teach from the law of Moses, in the prophets, and what? In the book of Psalms. That's what he was doing. He opened their understanding for the very first time. On the inside, they opened up. They could see now the prophecy of the prophets. They could now see the events that are taking place. Remember what they told them on the road to Emmaus, those disciples said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then to enter into his glory, and beginning at Moses? So the message is not the suffering. The message is the glory. He ought to suffer so that this can happen, but the aim really is the glory. Hallelujah. The glory is his name. Hallelujah. That glory is his name. So he began to show them now, not just by appearing, but from scriptures. So there was evidence, physical proof. The marks were in his body. His hand still bears the scars. His side bears the scars. His feet bears the scars. Yet he knew faith won't come just like that. How does it come? He opened it their understanding. Listen, that they might put the scriptures together. So where scriptures were disjointed and they seemed disconnected with who they're referring to, for the first time, they could see what all those disjointed scriptures were pointing to. Only one person, the sufferings of Christ, and what? The glory to follow. Glory to God. What Luke is describing here is a salvation experience. This is when he got saved. It wasn't one day. It was during those 40 days. He opened their understanding. When they understood, that's when they believed. When they believed, that's when they were saved. What were they meant to believe? That the scriptures prophesied that he would rise from the dead. And that resurrection, they became new creations. Look at the next thing. Look at verse 46. And said unto them that it is written, thus he behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that what? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning where? At Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. So can you see the progression? They got saved. When they got saved, he now began to tell them they commissioned the assignment. Or is now repeating what Matthew said. What did Matthew say? What did Matthew say? Matthew 28:19. What does he say? Teach all nations. What does Mark say? Go into what and preach. So can you see the correlation in all that? We have looked at, these are three. Look at John. John's Gospel. Look at John's Gospel. Because when we begin to put them together this way, it's easier for us to see the correlation. John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm going to jump because we saw that yesterday. We saw Peter and John. They came to the sepulchre. They found it empty. They left. And when they left, their condition was that likely the body of Jesus had been stolen away. But somebody stayed. Her name is Mary. She stood without the sepulchre. She was weeping. She wept. She stooped down. She looked in. She saw two angels in white sitting. The one at the head. The other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And when they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. Can you imagine? Said, sir, if you have borne him, she was too filled with sorrow. If you have borne him, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, she recognized his voice, that is the master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my father. The word touch me not, rendered in King James, doesn't mean you can't touch him. Actually, she held on to Jesus at that time. And Jesus was saying, don't hold me back. There's still one more trip I'm going to make. Don't hold me back. It's not like you cannot touch her. Don't touch him. No. He's like, don't hold me back. Don't hold on to me. I still have a journey to make. Notice, but go to my brethren. He said, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto, let's read together, unto, and to my, and your, how did he accomplish that? He raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. That is his name. The one that has brought us to the Father. That is his name. The one who has made us sons of the Father. That is his name. What's our authority? In his name. He has brought us to the Father. This is what you should go and tell them. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God. By extension, I mean your God. Look at the next verse. So, Mary came and told disciples that she has seen Lord and he has spoken these things. Okay, so, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. And when so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Can you see he's repeating what happened in Luke? See what I mean? Disciples were glad, and they knew when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, peace be unto you, as my Father has what? Sent me, even so send I you. Look at the next one. When they had said this, he breathed on. You notice the word them is italicized. If you're using the good King James, have you seen that? How many of us use King James? Okay. A lot of King James are here. So notice what them is italicized. So the word is he breathed on, not breathed on them. Okay? He breathed on, notice, and said unto them, receive ye what? The Holy Ghost. Now, two different instructions actually. He breathed on. Now, there's nothing wrong in blowing on people in ministering to them, but that's not what Jesus did. He didn't blow. No. Okay. That phrase he breathed on means to cause something to awaken in people. Okay, it's Greek word ephusal. It means to cause something to spring up. It means to cause something to rise inside of them. Something sprang up. Something came alive inside of them. John's words is describing Luke's expression of how they got saved. Luke said, then opened it their understanding. And they may what? Understand the scriptures. But John says, he breathed on. or it caused something to come awake inside of them. It's talking about salvation. Say amen. That so he breathed on was not done as a physical activity. It was accomplished with words. He taught. And in teaching, something opened up on the inside. That opening is when they got saved. Glory to God. Then he gave them that instruction. Now notice in Luke. Luke said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be what? Endued with power from where? On high. But here, you hear John say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They are not the same. They are two different instructions. So the first one, after they got saved, he now told them that they should what? Receive the Holy Ghost. That is, take off the Holy Ghost. If you put those words together in normal English, here's the way it sounds. Just like this. Receive Holy Ghost. And that's the basis of some people's doctrine. But there's harmony in the Gospels. Whatever happened in Mark must have happened in Matthew. Must have happened where? In Luke. What happened in Luke? He opened their understanding. By verse 49, what did he tell them? Tarry unto you. To endue means to sink into a cloth, to put on a cloth. That means cloth already available. Tarry until you are soaked, until you are endued with power from where? On high. When he was talking about on high is no longer of physical distance or height. On high is a reference to in light of what I've accomplished. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you say? So when he was telling them, when he breathed on, he caused light, understanding to rise up on the inside of them. They became saved. Then he gave them that instruction, make sure you receive the Holy Ghost. Because in receiving, what will happen next? Look at that, John. It was written together, but it happened together. Look at next verse. Whosoever sins you remit, they are what? Remitted unto them. Whosoever you retain, they are what? Retained. How do you remit people's sins? By preaching the gospel. Glory to God. So, you know, again, like I said, interpretation is extremely crucial. People took this and said that, I'll just remit your sin. I just hold your sin like this, you'll not be forgiven. No. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Glory to God. So, you cannot. How do you remit people's sins? By preaching the gospel. Go back to Luke, please. Luke 24:47. Are you getting something tonight? I'm going to stop shortly and pray. But I want us to get this. And that's why I'm taking pains to go this way. Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the same among what? All nations. Beginning where? At Jerusalem. Begin at Jerusalem. That's what he said. Then if you go all the way down to verse 49. We're 47 before, right? So if you go all the way to verse 49, what is it? And behold. So see. I send the promise of my Father where? Upon you. But tarry where you are in the city of Jerusalem until you put on, until you sink into this. So, Jesus' way of putting scriptures together is that it will begin from Moses and all the prophets. Now, there's something that we may not have noticed when it says all the prophets. Who was the last prophet in this line of prophets? Who was the last prophet? Who was the last prophet? Did John write any scripture? But was John's message recorded? Yes. Now, notice what Jesus said about John. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Because Jesus could not have excluded John from this narrative because he called John the greatest of all the prophets. That means in ranking, John was greater than David. Yeah, he was. See what Jesus said. I'm going to John because of our time. Verse 8. What went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment, behold, they that are wears of raiment, they are in king's houses. But when ye out to see a prophet, yea, I say unto you, I am more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is no what reason a greater than John the Baptist. Somebody says, why? Because of the testimony that he had about Jesus. Now, look at a little bit of John's testimony. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In those 40 days of teaching, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be what? Baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So, did John baptize water? Yes. Is that John's message? No. Or John's message that men will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. How do we know? Again, go back to Matthew. So I say, Pastor, all this going back and forth is important. Matthew 3. Okay, we'll go to all of them. We'll read one or two. Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto what? Repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and okay, it's interesting because when Jesus was quoting it, Jesus didn't mention fire. He left fire for John. Amen. He left John with the fire. When Mark was quoting it also, I think Mark also, look at Mark. Mark 1. You know, Jesus is the word, so he knows how to. When Jesus was quoting Isaiah chapter 61, do you notice that he left vengeance alone for Isaiah? Okay. He took, therefore, he left the vengeance part that you have vengeance. I came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 8, Mark 1, verse 8. I indeed have baptized with water, but he shall baptize with what? The Holy Ghost. So, John knew about the resurrection of Jesus. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost has to do with what? The resurrection of Jesus. So, John was the one who had the highest revelation of all the prophets, because John spoke directly about the new birth. He spoke about the resurrection of Jesus. That's where the baptism is. So he says, I'm baptizing with water now to show you how he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. When will he do that? His resurrection. That is his name. He it is that baptizes. John's Gospel chapter 1. And then we round up for tonight and pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, I have the name. I have the benefit of the name. I have the accomplishment in the name. The name means everything to me. All of heaven is at my beck. At the name of Jesus. All right. See what it says. Verse 33, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 33. And I knew him not. Okay. But he that sent me to baptize water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, the same is he which what? Baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Is the one that will be raised in his resurrection. It will make the Spirit what? Available. Glory to God. He is the one that baptized with the Holy Ghost. That is his name. So when Jesus was telling them, go into all the world and preach, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name, in my name, in my resurrection, in my making the Spirit available, in my making forgiveness of sins a reality, in my making men sons of God, in my making men sons of the Father, in my bridging the gap between God and men, in my name, these signs shall follow. So my name means, except what I've accomplished is not true, then my reputation is not true. So it was go, and it says all nations, means the force and the power behind what I've accomplished will affect men everywhere at any time. So go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. There is no time from now onwards. And the beauty of it is this. Again, we preach that the gospel is not that Jesus died, even though he died. The gospel is not that he was buried, even though he was buried. Because he died, he didn't stay dead. He was buried, he didn't stay buried. He rose and is forevermore. Hallelujah. And he will never die again. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning of God's creation and the end of everything. Glory to God. He has the final say in all situations. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying plenty. Hallelujah. I am saying plenty. Glory to God. I'm seeing the one in whom I'm confident that the Father answers my prayer. Again, the more you know about it, even as you pray, you know before you pray. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything, it is in accordance with will that he hears us. If we know that he hears us, then we know that we have what? The petitions that we have desired of him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, verse 15. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything, it is according to his will to hear us. We know it's according to his will. We'll get more results in the seasons ahead. Hallelujah. And we're prepping ourselves. E.W. Kenyon was speaking about the fact that many times when he preached the gospel, and he noticed that there was some level of resistance. And you just think it's just a natural resistance that we are preaching the gospel, because Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And there is nobody that will hear the message of the gospel and they will not say yes to Jesus if it is properly preached. Because repentance and remission of sins, nothing is required of you. God is offering you a change of heart by seeing his nature and character in raising Jesus from the dead. And he's offering you absolute forgiveness of sins from everything you have ever done wrong. And it's not only that, he's offering you sonship. He's also making himself a gift to you. No one in their right senses will say no. None. He said, but sometimes you meet with opposition. Sometimes you find out that some people, they want to, but something's holding them back. He said, many, many times, under my breath, I've whispered a name. In the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, let go of his mind. Hallelujah. Let go of this man's mind. And suddenly, the people have responded. Because there was a force holding them back. That wasn't physically seen, but that was behind the scene. You foul spirit, stop in your operations. This is one of us now. Let him go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the confidence that we have in him. That demon spirit said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Say, I'm a son of God. Say, I'm a son of God. And the name belongs to me. I have standing in the spirit. I have access by faith into this grace wherein I stand. And I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. And give him praise and give him thanks. Let's give him praise. Let's give him thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's give him thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's first thank him for that name. Let's thank for the authority we have in the name. Let's thank for the power we have in the name. Say, I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cast out devils. I get answers in prayer. Supernatural things happen to me all the time. 2023, the month of February, superlative things are happening. Supernatural events surround all that I do. There's nothing ordinary about me. The favor of God is not upon me just this month. The favor of God is upon me in the coming year. In the month of January and February, I experience favor every week. Moment in the name of Jesus, the goodness of God finds expression in my life. I am a living testimony of God's faithfulness in all areas. I am an encourager of men, and through me, the fragrance of Christ spreads abroad. I want to pray concerning health issues that people are seem to be facing. Certain health issues, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him that is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above what I will ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. And Paul says, I know that it shall turn, Philippians 1:19, to my salvation, that is deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That supply heals. That supply heals. I said that supply heals. That supply heals. Now, you may know some specific individuals. Now, you may even be one. But we're just going to pray right now that in the name of Jesus, if you know one or two people mention their name, if you are the person, be conscious of God's power right now. We're going to pray and channel God's power. Every trace of sickness, of disease, either in you as a person, in any member of this local assembly, in the name of Jesus, we command it to vaporize, to cease to exist, to dematerialize. We declare them healed and free from the burden and the pain of cast. 2023. Sound health, vitality, vigor for every member, for every saint, in the name of Jesus. We know no sickness, we know no down days, but we are strong, we are whole, we're able to fulfill divine plan and purpose. In the name of Jesus, we shed of sickness, we shed of disease, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Father. We're not afraid. We're bold. We're not afraid. We're bold. We're not afraid. We're bold. We're bold. We're bold. We're bold. We're bold. We're bold in what you have revealed to us. We're bold in what your word says. We're confident in what your spirit has given to us. We bless your name, Father. Oh, glory to your name forever. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Glory to God. We're going to continue tomorrow.